Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today.
I may be stuck in the house, but I'll never be a housewife. So stupid.
The delivery on that was something magical. I was very into it. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 175. I've gone from your TV screens to the insides of your ears and minds, where I hopefully always reside. And I'm so welcome. I'm so excited to be joined by one of my favorite people to talk about all things Housewives with, none other than episode 175-ish of Andy's Girls. It is none other than the co-host of the Magical Podcast, Come Through Queen, Mr. Brendan Davis. Brendan Davis, how are we today?
Good. I cannot believe I am talking to a television star, the one and only Dame Gally.
I am going to Venmo you in just a moment. Thank you so much for that. I have to tell you, so here's the deal. I went to a filming for New York in December. And so after that tech rehearsal, filming, workshop, however they called it, I talked about that experience on that the following Andy's Girls. So if you guys want to go into the archives, it's on some AG from December. And as the season rolled along and I didn't see it, I thought it's possible it's not going to be in the show at all. And then I realized, oh, wait, they're building up Viva La Diva. Right. And she's talking about this like rehearsal, workshop, whatever. And then they showed the teaser last week for the finale. And I was like, oh, wait, is that me? And then I thought, okay, so you'll probably see me for like a second. And people were sliding into my DMs. Thank you to all of you who were tagging me on social and everything else. I put up a wild photo on my Instagram that you guys need to see. But I was just dying at the number of times that I was bombing up.
Really front and center there. I had no idea. Because, like, you weren't the only person who I know were recognized in that audience, but you definitely were front and center the entire time.
Thank you. A place I was born to be. I mean, my thing is, I was nervous when I realized that event was going to be shown because I didn't know what my facial expressions were. And in the moment, I never know what I'm like, what people are registering on my face. All I know is I have gotten into a significant amount of trouble in my personal and professional life because my soul lives on my face as it does in my laugh. So like, if I don't like something, you are going to know before I know that you know, if that makes any sense. Like there's no, I can't disguise it anyway. So I was a little nervous. Because there were some moments where I was like definitely confused. But shout out to the editor. I mean, I was just so appreciative. I was honestly like, and it's my second finale.
Oh my God. You looked very supportive most of the time. So there's
good.
That.
Okay, good. Because that's what, and it's like one of those things when you see Housewives in the wild versus filming, it's just such a different experience. And my favorite part of it was, so they were like filming us when we walked in and throughout. And at one point, a producer went up to me and was like, guys, can you do me a big favor? We didn't get like the big shot of you guys entering. Do you mind like doing an entrance again? And I looked at them and I said, I would be honored. It would be the greatest moment of my life to redo an entrance. So I threw on my coat. We like ran to the entrance. We redid it. I was like, oh my God, look at this. If you saw like my full, because I'm a nut job. And then we sat down and I realized I'd forgotten to take my bag with me. Mm-hmm. So had they shown the whole, you would have seen me just walk directly over to where my purse was and sit down in that seat. I mean, the other random part of this that you guys will understand is, you know, a week or so before filming, I had been in San Miguel de Allende with a friend of mine having a great, lovely time. And while there, I had some experiences with Dr. Deb.
Oh, no.
Which started off wonderful and maybe didn't go great for me and several people, residents of San Miguel.
I heard about this. I remember. She like stole. Yes. She allegedly stole from a shop.
She allegedly stole. She was not the loveliest to, which I don't even think she was aware of when it came to like how she was interacting with people that she probably associated with the idea of like staff, like maybe not Ramona levels, but circling that area. So I talked about that on Andy's Girls. It went a little bit wild. And then at the filming at Luann's, I started to get DMs from Dr. Deb.
Oh, my God.
So I was, like, at this filming reading these DMs, which were very intense. And then she went on Instagram I think, the next day and said I was murdering her soul. And then I unfortunately had to block her because of some very, very inappropriate follow-ups that she sent that she knows, and I know exactly what she said. And that's all. I'm not going to put her fully on blast because I do not care at all about her and care entirely about my own whatever. And all this to say, it was just a wild night because I had like Orange County in my phone and Lou and Sonia in my face. And also Leah. We didn't know who the fuck she walked in. I recognized her. I didn't know anything about her. And she sat down and was like lovely to us. Sonia was talking to us after Lou performed. Like, everyone couldn't have been lovelier. But it's just so interesting watching it now because, like, I had no idea who she was or what she would bring. And it was.
And she opened up a whole new Roni world in a way.
Oh, my God. I mean, listen, it's in print. I said it to friend of the show, Kevin Fallon, in the Daily Beast several months ago. Mm-hmm. She is going to be the spiritual center apple. She is now. She's the people's people center apple. And she's the greatest and possibly only gift of this season.
I know. I wonder how they'll build around her. Like, do you think the sister will ever join or that other person who went with them?
So I thought, sidebar, I don't think I remember. I thought for some reason that Elise was there at the thing, but I don't think she was. I think I got that other brunette woman there, but someone said that that brunette woman was someone, but I have no idea who she was. I don't know what will happen with this sister. Mm-hmm. I know that people are talking about it. I don't know how I feel about it, and I don't mean that in a critical way. I just mean I don't know enough about her sister to know if this is a good fit. Obviously, we've seen relationships with siblings on New Jersey, on, you know, Beverly Hills. I don't know if that will happen. I think her sister will certainly be a part of the show in some way. It might be in these little like cameos that she's in. I don't know if they'll upgrade her. I don't see her as being full time, but I don't even know what's happening with the cast. I mean, do you want, is it Lily? I think it's like Sarah Lily McSweeney.
It's like Sarah Lily McSweeney. She's been like fighting in the comments with like Housewives, which is an interesting look for a sibling. I like the sibling relationships on Housewives, but I just like don't necessarily think they're great for the siblings themselves. I mean, let's look at what's happening in New Jersey, though. That's like stuff outside Housewives as well. But I mean, I would support it because she seems like a real weirdo, but, and we haven't had a weirdo since like Alex McCord, but who knows?
I mean, I love a little kooky energy, and I like if that is a bit different from the energy that Leah's bringing. You don't want two people that feel the same way because, like, what's the point of that? And I don't know if there's any real friction in their relationship. And so I don't know. It would be, I think, potentially interesting to unpack. I'm not, like, dying for it. I also think, you know, that comment that you referenced. So Sonia put up, I thought, a very funny post slash Sonia's social media person put up a very funny post on her main on IG this week that was something along the lines of like, this is what I'm doing, and then swipe through to see, this is like my version of a fun day, swipe through to see other people's or whatever. I forget what the line was. And it was like Sonia vacuuming and then a shot of a picture that Tinsley and or Leah had posted of them on a private jet. And I thought it was really funny. It was tongue in cheek, like, pick your fights, you know, it wasn't a big thing. And then Leah's sister commented and said, like, how dare you make fun of her or something. And it was just like, come on, over this?
Right, exactly.
And Sonia's done some dumb shit, but I don't think this is among it. It was actually, I thought, kind of cute, but most of yesterday's episode was not. What do you think about what went down and about this season of New York so far?
So I have really mixed thoughts about this season because this season has been a mess, but also like we've had instantly iconic moments in this season. So someone pointed out to me that like they think that we actually might look back on this season like fondly. But in the moment,
it's happened before in New York.
I mean, season five and four. Six. Yeah. Well, I would say four, which is my least favorite. But
Okay.
We might look back on this fondly and like remember the good moments because we did get Leah. And just like I don't know, Lou's having a really good season, but the
she's having a great season.
Yeah, the Dorinda of it all, it's just like, why does she keep on doing this to herself? And it's like, it's like Tyra Banks, we were rooting for you, we were all rooting for you. That's exactly how I think people in the fandom think about Dorinda. Like, we love her. When the news came that she was leaving, devastating, but we're also all like, you did this to yourself. Look at her last scene as like on the actual Housewives without it being a reunion show is just mortifying.
It's mortifying, and it was confusing to me because they did this like, I'm super cool, I'm going to pretend I understand what this even means as I say it out loud. But I was watching the finale and I was like, oh, they're doing like that Marvel Comics movie thing where you have the credits and then something else happens, which, P.S., as somebody who doesn't necessarily watch Marvel movies, the first time I watched Black Panther, I watched it and I was like, oh, this is great. And then my roommate was like, oh, what did you think of blah, blah, blah. And she said something. I'm like, I don't remember that happening. And she said, did you watch the credits?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I stopped at the end of the movie. Right. I had to go back and watch this like whole huge part. So the fact that they did the little vignettes at the end, P.S., Lou's writing a book, which we know because we've seen in the show, Dorinda's writing a book. Okay, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it's not priced the same way her sweatshirts are online.
I wonder if it will do better or worse than Kristen Doody's book, which came out like as that whole scandal was breaking.
Which came out and was immediately archived from existence. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. I'd love for Lou and Dorinda's to come out around the same time, and let's see which one is like the donkey booty of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the donkey, which is the stallion. But the credit, like they did the little, you know, so-and-so is doing whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes to this like mega battle that started because yet again, Dorinda is not listening and she's looking for a reason to express anger and rage.
Mm-hmm.
It could have happened wherever. Had she let Leah say more than three words, what Leah would have said was something along the lines of, Tinsley introduced me to the group or whatever, and since she left, I'm so appreciative for having gotten to know you better.
Right.
And Dorinda just started popping off. At one point you watch her, even they didn't use this camera shot, she's yelling into the camera lens.
Mm-hmm.
Like she didn't break the fourth wall, she burned it down to the ground. For what? Because she's actually obsessed with Tinsley? Like if I was Tinsley, I would watch that and be terrified. Was that shown in the video before, you know, the cuts they get before they shoot the reunion? I would assume yes. How would Tinsley feel watching that and then going into the same space as this woman?
Mm-hmm. 1,000%. I just am like so grateful that 2020 has brought us a lot of things, but it is officially the year where the fourth wall is gone and nobody's safe. Like the behavior that they could get away with beforehand, they can no longer do, because we've seen it in every city that's aired in 2020, that the fourth wall is no longer there. These women are behaving badly towards producers, and now we're gonna see it all.
And there's a lot that's been talked about online. It's interesting to watch whatever Dorinda and her team are leaking versus what Bravo or people close to production are leaking versus like with the it's a timeout, she'll be back, which P.S. is something that Nick Rizzo and I talked about on last week's Andy's Girls versus updated page. It's all on page six. It's going down in the DMs on page six.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like an update that's like, she's definitely not back. That's an excuse that's being made, but she's definitely gone forever versus the reason that she's gone is because of what she said about the turkey baster and Tinsley trying to get pregnant, which is P.S. one of the nastiest, cruelest things.
Right.
I think she has said, and that's in the top 10 of an extremely long list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a great way to leave a show. And there is literally nobody for Dorinda to blame but herself.
There's zero,
literally nobody.
And there's zero self-awareness there. Like, none at all. I mean, obviously, because she keeps on behaving like this. You would think that, like, after what happened in Puerto Rico a few seasons ago with Bethany and her and Bethany's like relief team
with Haiti.
If any of us, if any like normal person pulled off like had a bad night and like behaved like that, I think we would all reevaluate ourselves and our lives. But she's only gotten worse since.
And she doesn't have the benefit. Why was this coming out? I was having this conversation with somebody. Oh, I was talking to somebody about, I think, Carl with Summer House, where you may have a lifestyle where you get blackout and do things. Mm-hmm. And with Dorinda, that might be related to getting blackout drunk and angry, or just getting filled with rage that maybe isn't even influenced by liquor. But you may have had a lifestyle where you get blackout drunk and you give yourself the benefit of the doubt because you don't remember your behavior. Mm-hmm. You lose that benefit the second you sign up for a show like Summer House or Housewives or anything else on Bravo TV, because they're going to use that footage. So then you have to decide for yourself, am I denying the reality of the existence of what is now like public record that we're watching every Thursday at 9, mm-hmm. aka Friday morning around 10, or am I going to own up to the smallest possible aspect of this so I continue to have the privilege of continuing to have this job? You either get to own your behavior or completely ignore deny the existence of it, knowing that that denial may in fact lead to you losing that very job that should have helped you understand the ways in which you behave badly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I just like wonder where she will go from here. I guess she might actually be moving back into that old condo because she's about to lose that deal with the new apartment.
Yeah, there was a thing in Page Six that I actually didn't believe, where I believe part of it, where it was like she may lose her job and her apartment in wherever in Midtown. It's like one of those random names because mm-hmm. everyone decides to rename their neighborhood in order to sell spaces there. But
Sutton Place.
Sutton Place. Thank you
Sutton
so much.
Sutton
Strack Avenue. So, so she got some sort of deal whereby hyping and recording a lot of her scenes in her apartment, she either got a heavily discounted rent, didn't have to pay rent, or didn't have to pay rent, plus got a kickback, which mm-hmm. I find the least believable of those three. I 100% could see her getting a discount for, you know, using the space, and good for her. But I don't know what that means when you're no longer on the show. I also think, I mean, what's the future here? You know, like before Leanne was fired slash quit in order to pursue charity endeavors, she had the idea of that dress that Andy was like, this is one of the best ideas I've ever seen a housewife do. And it went nowhere mm-hmm. because she couldn't get production together, I assume. And also she did not leave in good terms with the audience.
Right.
And with Dorinda, it's like you want to do this cardio thing. And while I do want you to pursue a career that has to do with like burning off bad energy, I don't know how you monetize an exit like that. It went from, as you said, a day of sustained public grief mm-hmm. when Dorinda's exit was announced, plus the added news that like she might be the only one cut, which is wild if correct, or at least, you know, cut entirely and not demoted. And then it went to seeing that finale and it's like, yeah, I think they made the right call. If she doubles down on that behavior on the reunion, and I have no reason to think she's going to be real and honest about what it means to have that much anger about one person mm-hmm. trigger you in that way against other people, yeah, you do need to go. And I don't know. I thought this was going to be a one or two season timeout. I thought Dorinda needs to take care of herself. I actually don't know, after watching that finale, if she's going to be back in the near future. I really don't know.
And it doesn't seem like she's even trying, because like I feel like online she's like picking fights and like she's just mm-hmm. like living in her little Berkshire's life with Hannah and that weird guy, and like,
oh yeah, who was in the finale, who is that
I don't know, I think his name is like Greg. They just like sit there and like they drink wine and like make mm-hmm. roasts, and like that's gonna be her life for a little bit, and I don't think she's gonna actually like look inside herself to see like why she was fired from this show.
what is inside of herself?
I don't
like know. What would we see if we opened up like Dorinda's tum?
Like a red balloon floats out.
Extraneous coins, double-sided, two-faced. What would it is? It's hard because I want to say, like, is it this or this? But obviously, realistically, it's probably a combination of a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think to myself, was this the same Dorinda? Like, was Dorinda this way when she was married to Richard, or did this only happen after he passed when she was grappling with his death? Or was she always sort of like this and it was just super exacerbated with his death, her journey trying to figure out what her next chapter would be, and then the joy that comes with fame and celebrity, mm-hmm. and adoration and some cash.
Right. I mean, the narrative is that, like, with Richard, she was, like, the perfect wife, like, motherly. They were, like, high society, like, would go
super
to
progressive, yeah,
all these charities party, and like that kind of stuff. But I mean, we don't know what happened when they like went home after a few cocktails, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I would love to know what she was like prior to all of this. I mean, we saw her in that in the background of Jill's niece's
anti-bullying event.
Like, promoting the
pro-bullying event.
That would make sense for why Dorinda was in attendance. But we saw her in the background, so she's been a part in some way of, you know, these circles of friendship for a while. I'm curious how people who have known her, maybe even people who've been on the show themselves, would really look at how Dorinda has changed and not changed. I just am left with, God, like, it was a lot. I know that people were like, oh my God, this was amazing. I felt a little like under duress. It was a lot of negative, unsubstantiated rage that was unnecessary. And like Lou, as always, tries to like lighten the mood while also adding like a little passive aggressive zinger about the like hand stuff. And Dorinda just has truly no sense of humor when she thinks that she's under attack or about to be attacked.
Yeah.
And the way that Dorinda just tried to maul her was just like, I'm good. Like Luann's handling of it after with the, this is what happens when you don't check yourself and this is what, you know, things can lead to, I thought was entirely correct and accurate.
Yeah. One thing I noticed that I thought was disgusting is that, like,
tell me everything.
After Dorinda yelled at everyone, she walked away, then seemingly picked up a random drink from a random table that, like, stressed me out.
Did she drink it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was like, it had like 4 limes, carcasses in, no ice, just like disgusting.
Had you ever heard carcasses in until Beverly Hills?
No, I'm obsessed with it though.
What carcasses in means you leave the body of the lime?
Well, yeah, because Dorit said carcasses out.
Okay, so she just wanted the squeeze, but not the flesh.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like carcasses in for myself, but
I like carcasses in, and I'm going to start. It sounds wild to say it out. I don't think I've ever said it out loud before, but I'm into it. And so just getting your thoughts on New York's future, what's your ideal?
I mean, if we're keeping most of these women, I say stack the cast and let's see what works out. Because, like, one of my favorite seasons was 7. And how many housewives did we have that year? Like, we had, like, 8 housewives. Yeah.
Yeah.
So stack the cast and, like, then see what works out.
It's so wild to me that Dorinda's out and that we're just understanding that Ramona is still going to be there. That is wild.
I know. And like, sorry, the Hamptons house is not as iconic or fun as the Berkshires. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember getting into a thing with OG of the AG, Damian Bellino, about the Hamptons and somebody else too. I forget who it was, about like the idea that this was maybe not as enjoyable as, you know, I had a lot of fun watching those episodes this season. And I heard from people who were like, this wasn't fun. It was just women being drunk and messy. And that can't be all New York can bring. Otherwise, we just this isn't a layered, nuanced season in the way that we expect and sort of demand from New York. And while I still loved that two episode arc or whatever it was, you know, there were people who saw the way that this season was going before I did. And you have to kind of respect that. You know, I hoped it wouldn't go that way. I felt a lot of glee when I watched those episodes. I just thought it was like there was so much energy. I loved the energy. And it didn't feel to me only about drunken Michigas. But as the season has gone on, I have to say, you know, people maybe saw this coming before I did, or I was really struggling with the idea that maybe that episode wasn't as A++ as I thought. I mean, I think I need to rewatch it. I
think, like, for me, it depends who's doing the drunken, like, stuff. Because, like, back then,
absolutely,
like, Leah and Sonia for me was low stakes because at the end of the day, they're not people who are going to hold a grudge forever and like ruin the night. Like they were arguing, but they were also like having some level of fun to the point where I even thought like Leah was like putting on a little bit for like an acting bit for a little bit of it. But like when Dorinda gets to that level, it's just like not fun for anyone, and somebody's gonna end up like hurt and crying.
It really feels like the end of an era, and I just have to say that maybe that's good. You know, I really think for Dorinda's own whatever, you know, it's on her. It's always been on her, and now it's abundantly clear when you remove all of this, she will still be famous within the Housewives empire, but there is something to be said for 99% of the housewives who leave versus being a current housewife, the cachet that that brings, the currency that that brings inside the Bravo world. And with some of this stuff taken away, her check taken away, you know, the day-to-day knowledge of what the ability to negotiate contracts, like what she allegedly did at Sutton Strack Boulevard, I just think you are either now going to have a true come to Jesus / Andy Cohen moment where you are saying, okay, maybe I need to look at this, or you are fully closing that door, putting it in the vault, putting it inside the fish room, and just continuing to live this very, and I don't mean this as negative as it's going to sound, but like superficial life.
Right.
Where you are not able to confront yourself in the way that you actually, like, as a person, deserve.
Right. I wonder if she'll end up doing, like, the WeTV circuit. Like,
oh my God, that would be such a downer.
The celebrity therapy, whatever it's called, thing.
I mean, she could do marriage therapy with a balloon. Like, what? What? Who is she? Like, it's usually done in pairs. Like, even fucking Aviva and Reed did some bullshit. Like, we need to work on ourselves, because they didn't. She just needed to stay famous, and he had agreed for them to leave their gorgeous apartment to buy a fucking random ass townhouse so she could continue to film. So they decided to like go as low as possible. Phaedra created some random ass relationship in order to be, I think, on the same or a marriage, whatever the fuck, vacay, boot camp, situation, therapy, whatever.
She could do the one that Kim Richards did with her daughter, like the mother and daughter one.
Wow.
I just remember I watched the first episode of that, and Heidi Montag showed up wasted. And I was like, okay.
Oh, my God. With her mom, who was, like, kind of weird, right? Or no, her mom was normal.
I don't know.
Wasn't her mom normal?
I think they were all. They lived
in Butte or Butte, Colorado. I just remember B-U-T-T-E from my childhood when that show was on air.
Wow, that's a deep cut.
Thank you. I mean, this is the show for deep cuts of all kinds.
I will say at least Dorinda has the name Dorinda. I feel like that's more iconic than like most of these women who
great name
leave. Yeah.
Great name. Dorinda Medley. Dorinda Maiden Name Medley. Into it. mm-hmm. of the Richard Medleys. I hope, you know, I wish her the best in her journey or just ongoing stroll. Mm-hmm. I guess ball's in her court, you know. It's on her. I am nervous for however she's going to behave on the reunion.
I know.
I'm scared for her. I just don't want her entire legacy to burn up. But I also think, you know, unfortunately, sometimes you're only as good as your last impression. And if this is her last impression, Apple, you know, this was her choice.
Yep.
This is all at the end of the day. You know, editing is one thing, but they're going to edit what you give them. And this is her choice. This is how she wants herself to be seen and thought of. And obviously she didn't know going into the reunion that it was going to be maybe her last, or at least her last for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's life. And she's going to show us what she shows us. And God help us, you know, honestly, we're in for a couple weeks of something.
Yeah.
I mean,
she made her bed and now she has to take her 4 p.m. nap in it every day.
Oh my God. I took a nap the other day accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the worst experience of my entire life.
It's
awful.
It always
it's
seems awful. Like a good idea, but then you wake up from it and you're like, where am I? What's happening? What have I done?
And it was like a 6 or 7 p.m. nap, and it was a solid 3 hours, which I guess Ooh. Isn't really napping. It's just going to sleep early and then waking up to realize you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, I was done. Mm-hmm. It was the whole day. The whole next day was canceled, which, as you know, is a huge, huge challenge when you're stuck inside and every day is the same. To lose, God forbid, a day right now is a terror. You know what I need to talk to you about?
What's that?
One of the most enjoyable episodes that I have seen this season. And I know you're going to think I'm going to say Potomac, because Potomac does deserve to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to it.
Right.
I swear to God. I know I've said that every week for the last several weeks. But I swear to God, we will get to Potomac in some fashion this week. But we need to talk about Beverly Hills.
Wow. The production value of this episode was incredible.
Like, was it as good as in person? Because was it maybe even better? It was wild. I couldn't believe it. It was gorgeous.
Those editors over at Evolution, like, mm-hmm. I mean, we should have known. It's the Vanderpump Rules reunion was really well done, too. And they only had time to get better.
Yeah. And that was with like 30 cast members. Mm-hmm. And this was just, I mean, to look at the growth from Atlanta to Pump, to whatever happened on Shaw's that I've been told I watch but do not in any way remember, Something Below Deck, whatever, Summer House, Andy like zoomed in and half listened, which was fine, to Beverly Hills, which was shot in such a beautiful, it looked rich,
mm-hmm.
it looked real, it didn't look like, okay, this was a reunion done during Corona, I may or may not rewatch it, but I'm appreciative for it. Like now, that is that part one, which I have seen 3 times, was awesome. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. I thought it looked great. I thought the content was great. I was heavily annoyed, which is a good thing. You don't want to watch these shows and just be like, well, that was amazing. Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that there was a lot to unpack. The last 14 or 15 minutes I could watch, maybe not over and over and over again, because I think I would actually be like too annoyed, but there was a lot going on. And I just have to say kudos to everybody involved, because I don't think they could have done a better job.
Right.
I really don't. I thought it was amazing.
So who were you annoyed by?
Well, I mean, I just can't help, having seen every episode of every Housewives franchise at least twice, couldn't help but think a little bit, well, Erica, Jane, Girardi / whatever, and Lisa Rinna
mm-hmm.
had a lot of fucking nerve to talk about how dare Denise pretend, in their words, to be defensive or putting on some sort of grand show when it came to all things family,
mm-hmm.
when Erica, Jane, tried to murder Eileen with words on that junk boat or whatever, because God forbid Eileen referenced her son. And Lisa Rinna, Lisa, don't you dare talk about my family, come from my family, right, whatever, against Kim Richards, wherever the fuck they were. I want to say Amsterdam, but I could be completely wrong.
Amsterdam, yes.
It just, there's a lot of balls there. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of chutzpah. And one of the best things about Beverly Hills is probably how purely and constantly hypocritical these women's, like, behaviors are when judged against what they do and say. Like, the evidence against how they are saying that they are better than this person, right, the evidence against how they would never do the things that Denise did, when P.S. they have done far, far worse. It's sort of astounding. I thought Erica was deeply, unreasonably angry against Denise. And I do believe that Erica believes her own bullshit. But I also feel like this is a woman who's just been, like, tap dancing around showing anything of her personal life aside from, like, a Tom Girardi cameo infomercial.
Once a season, yeah.
So, like, you got a lot of, once again, chutzpah to talk about how this woman isn't being real and how she's, like, calling you out. Like, you should be so lucky, right, for someone to reference you in a way that appears in any way dramatic.
My question is, like, what are we doing with Erica now? Like, why does she even want to be here?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't want to be here. She doesn't want to be with these women unless she can nod and give eyes and sip some champs with a straw, which, P.S., I firmly recommend. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe the best thing she's ever said is when she drinks champagne. No, she doesn't want to be here anymore. And, like, let her go.
And the thing is, like, she used to at least, like, bring the looks, humor, and, like, mm-hmm, humor. And I feel like a new Supreme has risen in the form of Dorit Kemsley.
Ooh.
Like, Dorit is giving us everything that Erica was giving us when Erica first joined. And I feel like Dorit's doing it better.
I mean, was Erica ever that great? Or was it just because she was supported by Yolanda? So it made her seem better than maybe she was. Was she really that great? She might have been that great.
I think she just was, like, a fun, like, she was, like, fun to look at. She elevated the game in, like, the fashion department, and she had she has some good songs. I will say those songs are good.
And I think that she should celebrate them, mm-hmm, and dance to them and go on tour through Zoom or FaceTime or Skype or whatever, and maybe not do this show anymore. I think she's already a friend of, so the idea of demoting her is, like, slightly hilarious. I think she'll be friend of next season, or better yet, let her go and she can do a cameo like Adrian or whomever else. She doesn't want to be here anymore. And when she is here, I just thought it was hypocrite. I just was like, why are you this angry at Denise? Like, none of this makes any sense.
Right.
It just doesn't, against Denise, who is so ineffective of defending herself.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like,
we all know that Denise is lying, yet we're, yes, all still 100%. On her side, weirdly. Yep.
I mean, it says so much about the other woman. It says more about the other women than it does about Denise. I'm on Team Denise because I'm horrified at what team everyone else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
If they had built any kind of argument about anything, or one of them seemed in any way reasonable, I would potentially be less triggered when I see them act poorly. But that's all I'm left with. Like, in my head, I'm doing, as I think most people are, a better job in the moment of defending Denise than Denise is.
Right.
It didn't help that she maybe pulled a Gumbelson and prepared herself in some way to, like, keep the energy smooth, shall we say, sort of like during Cancergate. Or maybe that's just her personality, because she is not great in the moment. But it doesn't really matter, because I am still super on her side and 100% acknowledge that there are, I'm sure, many examples of her lying. It doesn't actually matter. Rinna's whole thing of it's not the crime, it's the cover up. Sweetie, it's like the days to come. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we're all focusing on. We're not focusing on what you're selling a cover up to be. We're focusing on like crimes that you yourselves are committing in every episode that we've seen and like the episodes to come. Mm-hmm.
I'm just tired of doing this this exact same thing every season where it's like, it's just like, there's one thing and like most of the women team up against one woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank God we have Garcelle and Dorit this season and Sutton to like not let it be a total pile on.
Yeah.
But I'm just like sick of like this, like Teddy, Kyle, Erica, Rinna alliance where they're like so ride or die, yet they're not all friends. They don't really like each other. Maybe Teddy and Kyle like each other, but that's about it.
They protect each other.
Right.
They are so in love with protecting each other's secrets. Harry Hamlin, was that the first time we saw him in this season when he's like fucking posing in the back during that tech rehearsal that I goddamn loved?
I loved the tech rehearsal. Oh my God. Obsessed.
I fucking loved the tech rehearsal. Mauricio, what's going on with like Kyle, Mauricio and Kyle's life?
Mm-hmm.
Erica Jane, we see absolutely nothing but sparkle, and those sparkles have absolutely become pretty dull.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know what we're left with. Like, these are the women that are going to say Denise isn't being forthcoming about her lives. Like, on that alone, the headline alone, I question.
Right.
So, like, we can't even get to the content itself because it's already not valid or at least not complete. Like, on Beverly Hills, you guys are going to talk about the fact that Denise isn't forthcoming with her private life. And the only private thing that we've seen for you guys is like your dressing room closets. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not giving me anything. And I feel like Kyle has spent this season going to the school of LVP and doing whatever she can to strategize behind the scenes and bring drama and then call out that drama during filming or on the reunion as, wow, disingenuous. And I would never, you know, bring something to the table to hurt someone. And, you know, we have to be real and have to be honest. And, oh, I feel bad for Denise in this way. I feel bad for Garcelle in that way. Sweetie, what do you feel bad for? You feel bad for the reaction that people are having to behaviors and situations that you're talking about publicly.
Mm-hmm.
You yourself are orchestrating with three other people ways in which to bury people who you don't yourself like and don't have some sort of friendship contract oral agreement a la 53/54 cent, and you are working to bury them, and then you are making sure that if you're not being seen as a victim, you're certainly be seen as someone with empathy when you're talking about this stuff. Oh, Garcelle, I can totally appreciate how this must feel when you feel like you're under attack and how it's not fair. Why does Garcelle feel like she's under attack? Because of information that Kyle had that she brought to the reunion specifically to shame her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, same with Denise. Like, are we not all watching the same show here? And I love Kyle.
The charity thing I thought was like kind of dirty. Cause like, if you have this information, that's the kind of information that you just like reach out privately. And I'm sure that the charity had reached out to Garcelle in some way, but like she clearly seemed off guard. And I thought it was like just a dirty thing to bring up to make her look awful in front of people. And I think people turned on Kyle because of that behavior. I mean, I've been in the side where I think Kyle has been the problem for years. I mean, LVP and Kyle, but Kyle's been the problem for years, and I would like to have her leave.
You would?
Yeah, I just think she's held everything so close to the chest since seasons one and two, especially one when her personal life blew up with her sister. I think she's been a lot more calculated and held things really close to the chest because she didn't like how it felt to have her personal family drama out there.
Because of her own behavior.
Because of her
responsibility being the one to make the reveal.
Exactly. So
that's a really good point.
I just like, I don't like the energy she is bringing to the show anymore. And I would like to mix it up and have them be a little more open and honest. I just feel like she's acting all the time.
I don't disagree with you in the ways in which Kyle has become potentially more calculated. I do have to say I love her on the show. I'd like for her to stay, but we need a strong alpha here, and there is nobody currently in the cast that is worthy of holding a center diamond. Mm-hmm. And I love what Dorit has done this season, but it doesn't mean that she is really like the backbone of the future of the franchise. And I have said for 750 years that having someone like Leah Black in the mix would be great, because I need someone who can evoke fear in personalities like Lisa Rinna, mm-hmm. where without breaking a sweat, Leah Black, who also brings with her a lot of money and potentially cachet, would devour these women alive, mm-hmm. devour them alive. I think that's needed, but I don't personally, although I know a lot of people agree with you, I don't personally want the removal of Kyle, but I have to say, regarding the Garcelle stuff, so I know you know this, but I'm a event producer, rest in peace, mm-hmm. patreon.com/andysgirls.
Remember events.
And holler. And they were fun. And like the one you guys saw me in this week. Huh. And so a large part of that is project managing. And I've done a lot of celebrity or events featuring celebrities and large scale galas that I produce. And a lot of that work is project management. And a huge aspect of that job is typically project managing the fundraising side of it. And I had a long conversation, because I am a sociopath, with a colleague about what happened on this most recent episode, mm-hmm. someone that works in the space, because it was bewildering to me the way that Kyle was once again using an example of gossip or something secondhand to say, this is how I'm painting the picture of your entire character.
Right.
This way that someone else said it. And I said to this person, like, this is so weird to me. I'm trying to unpack the operations around Garcelle potentially not paying for this auction item. And how does that work with the fiscal year for a nonprofit? Like, when this party was filmed probably in the fall, winter, around Christmas time, mm-hmm. end of the fiscal year is likely for them June 30th. This happened, you know, so like, how does that affect the reporting for the nonprofit? And I'm trying to like go through all of these steps to understand the ways in which one could push back on Kyle, but also just try to get her perspective. And, you know, the person I was talking to just responded and said, you know, my first thought is, how dare the charity tell Kyle about this confidential information, mm-hmm. that she should never have been aware of? And my guess is, with a lot of celebrities, when they host events, they may or may not pick up the bill. So like, and I'm sure you know this from the world and everything else. So like, a celebrity will say, you know, I'm hosting this charity cocktail party at my home, mm-hmm. and you guys are invited, and it's being coded like the cocktail party for the celebrity. It doesn't necessarily mean the celebrity is paying the bills for catering, right. and staffing, but they are donating their name, their mm-hmm. space. There's a priceless donation being made by that celebrity and their graciousness of hosting. With Kyle, my guess is that she probably was picking up the bill. She is known as being a hostess. She throws these grand events. For her, it is priceless to be seen as someone who throws events like this entirely for charity, because mm-hmm. Mauricio was sick as a child. They have this special, wonderful relationship with Children's Hospital Los Angeles, which I think is incredible and great. No one should have ever revealed confidential information, right. about Garcelle's donation history to Kyle. If she is able to access that information, she has way too much power, mm-hmm. within development or fundraising for that organization. And as you know, the person I was talking to said, if I was that charity, I would be heavily embarrassed, mm-hmm. about how this played off on the show, because pledges happen. Sometimes payment, you have to go a couple rounds to secure it. Mm-hmm. My guess is Garcelle didn't actually go on that trip. This happens fairly frequently, where at the, which is why I hate any events that do auctions like this, because there's so much follow-up.
Yeah.
Sometimes people change their minds. They have the right to. You then offer the prize to someone else. You've either tracked who else was bidding, or you go to another donor and say, this is available. It's not actually a huge deal in the fundraising world. And for a $5,000 donation, which is a lot of money for me, but not a lot in this world for a donor to give.
Totally.
Especially when they're receiving goods and services. It just makes what Kyle said all the more suspicious.
Right. Like, is Kyle Richards logging into Razor's Edge and looking up Garcelle's name? Like,
I'm in Razor's Edge way too fucking much. Exactly right. Shout out to anybody that knows Razor's Edge. I'm praying for all of you guys as I pray for myself. It is a nightmare. But yeah, is Kyle logging in, and has the donation been coded from pledge to cash? And was that person acknowledged? I mean, it sucks. I myself have done direct fundraising. I've produced benefits on and off Broadway, under, you know, within the world of musical theater. I've literally executive produced a Broadway contract. It is very, very tough fucking stuff. Mm-hmm. And when friends of yours pledge money, it can absolutely ruin relationships when you're like, hey, P.S., where's that check? But the reason that I knew that information was because I was directly responsible for assisting with fundraising.
Right.
Like, if I had just been staffed to come in to do whatever, or if I was a chair of a committee or whatever, I don't know that it would have been appropriate for me to receive that information.
Mm-hmm.
And for Kyle to use it, and then minutes later, Garcelle to talk about the idea of women maybe being uncomfortable, white women in this cast potentially being uncomfortable with calling out Garcelle for whatever because they're afraid of, in Andy's words, Black Twitter coming after them, for Kyle to jump in and be like, I would never be afraid of that. I mean, yeah. And if you're not, cool. We're having this conversation about Garcelle being the first Black Beverly Hills housewife, and you just said on national television that she doesn't pay her bills, and that's an example of her not being real?
Right.
What?
It's BS. Yeah, that's why I don't like Kyle. But
it was also the money of it is interesting to me. Kyle makes this grandiose narrative about Garcelle because of this trip to Mexico that probably isn't even that great. And by that, I mean, it's probably amazing and I would love to go. But she says this thing about Kyle and it's related to money. And she makes this comment about Garcelle not even being present a lot, which is passive aggressive and something that should be directed to production. Because if Garcelle was able to negotiate a sweet little contract for herself that gives her a nice check and also says she doesn't have to show up for events X, Y, and Z, that's not Garcelle's fault. That you should like be annoyed with production. Garcelle just did a great job of negotiating. But it really makes me sort of examine why these women are coming for Denise specifically. Like, it has to be kind of similar. Kyle, I'm sure, is feeling the fact and the effect of Garcelle as the shows are airing through when the reunion was filmed, and that Garcelle is America's sweetheart by the vast majority of America and has had a great first season. And Denise had a great first season last season and is also making a fucking sweet ass historic check. Like, I don't think that it's unrelated that these two women who have been able to negotiate contracts where they may or may not be present at the majority of the events while also potentially making a really significant amount of money based on the celebrity that they bring to these shows. They didn't need Housewives to make them famous. They were already famous names prior. I don't think it's an accident that women are coming after them.
Right. Also, I think like with Kyle specifically, it seems like she has an issue when she has to show up more to work than other people do. Like the thing with Dorit coming late to Teddy's weird thing.
And, oh my God, such a good point.
Yeah, in the OC, like Kyle was so mad that Dorit took a couple photos before leaving her house. Like so mad. So I think there's definitely a thing there where it's like Kyle's showing up to everything and she's getting mad at these people who don't have to and then are also becoming more beloved than her. Sorry.
I mean,
you know? And I would say that shows Kyle's value. Like, it's so interesting to me when you go from someone who a lot of people enjoyed. When it was Kyle versus Camille, the world was uniformly, overwhelmingly, mm-hmm. not solely, obviously. We all have our different opinions, however wrong. But the world was overwhelmingly on Team Kyle versus Camille, and the tides have changed a little bit. You know, Lisa Vanderpump did a great PR campaign, and a lot of people on her side continue to hold on to a lot of negative energy against Kyle because they think of their queen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
it leads to stuff like this.
Yeah, I remember when Camille was the world's most hated housewife. There was that iconic magazine cover.
Us Magazine, right?
I think it was like In Touch.
In Touch? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I do believe that there are still some like diehard team LVPs who are against Kyle in a lot of ways. I mean, if you ever look at like anything she tweets, you can always find one or two. What about Sutton? I feel like she's had a rise where like at the beginning of the season, people are like, who is this dingbat? And now people seem to like really, really enjoy her.
I fucking die for mm-hmm. Sutton. Sutton Strack Boulevard is a place I will gladly live. And if we're going to talk about who's not deserving of a full-time diamond,
mm-hmm.
give Sutton the diamond she's already holding in our hearts and minds.
Yeah.
Like, she's great.
And I think, like, with the thing about they always have to show their kids and all of that, I think, you know what? Her best friend is Jennifer Tilly. Let's get some scenes with her and Jennifer Tilly, like, hanging out at her store or doing whatever they do.
Jennifer Tilly energy is so interesting.
She is bizarre. She is always in Sutton's Instagram comments. Mm-hmm. Always. She's obsessed with Sutton. So I like want to
love it.
I want to know what their friendship is like.
And Jennifer Tilly with that whole, like, isn't she like a super famous, successful gambler now too? She's like a huge poker player.
Yeah, she's a poker player. I mean, she's
very successful at it. Yeah, very good.
She
at
was
it.
The bride of Chucky. Hello.
She's not all great. She let Sutton borrow that barrette that was in her part, which is like, sweetie, I think someone thought of center diamond and decided to start with her hair.
But that's what we like about Sutton is like her bizarre it's choices.
That always age her. When she said Pamela Rowland, I was like, I knew I hated it. Mm-hmm. And this is why, because you went into the like Ramona closet mm-hmm. of a certain kind of woman. And Sutton, when you see her on IG, like when she's just like out and doing whatever, dropping off her kid at college or whatever, she's so pretty. And when she sometimes does her glam, she ages herself in a way that she doesn't need to. I mean, maybe that's her choice. And if she feels beautiful in that, God bless. Mm-hmm. I just would love to see this Sutton on Beverly Hills that sometimes we see in her social.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. But I think she's great. I also think this bullshit of you can't show your kids. Well, Brandy had a thriving career on Beverly Hills, and we never once saw a child.
Sonia.
Bethany came back without Bryn. Sonia's husband wouldn't. We would have lost Sonia Tremont Morgan mm-hmm. because her husband wouldn't allow it. There are countless housewives who, for varying reasons, most of which are fucking great for those kids, if not all of them, can't show their children on TV. But Sutton gave us far more than, based on like the actual plot, than several of the women currently in the cast. And P.S. Erica Jane never showed her kid, even though he's like an adult, so I guess it's slightly different. Mm-hmm. But he lives in her house.
I know.
And we never saw him.
I know.
So I don't fucking know. I mean, I have to ask you about Teddy Bear, I guess.
Well, I heard a theory that like,
tell me,
when Sutton was demoted, that Teddy was promoted, and she was originally supposed to be a friend of this season. I mean, like, she gave us nothing. It was like, go on, girl, give us nothing. She gave us nothing this season.
She cried.
Mm-hmm.
Mazel. She ran out of a dinner and then tried to... That fucking... Yeah, Sutton is saying what the audience feels in relation to Teddy, and I think we just need to listen to this woman.
And if Teddy, you've been on this show for how many seasons, and we have not seen John Cougar himself or Meg Ryan. I know that they're broken up now, but you missed out on the opportunity of showing us Meg Ryan.
She was too afraid we were going to see her shadow is the problem. It was like Groundhog Day every day during filming. And if production decides to hire
the child of a celebrity who we know has her own life and her own special gifts. And I think that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. God bless. I need to see, and that person isn't delivering. You better fucking believe I need to remember why this person was cast, because based on the content that's been delivered, my guess is it's probably not their personality or life.
I know. I did not hear Jack and Diane once on Teddy's several seasons on this show. That sucks.
How many seasons has she been on?
Is this three? This is
10,
four.
Right? 45, 67 seasons?
I don't know. It feels like a lifetime and not a good lifetime.
Use Ramona's favorite word, favorite number, 69. She likes the way it looks. I'm sure you do.
As someone who's a Cancer, I have to embrace that from Ramona, because that's the that's the symbol is 69 when you're a Cancer.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about horoscopes. What I do know is I was born, I think, the day after Shannon Bedore, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, two days that after. Tracks.
And the same day as Vicky Gumbelson, which is
that tracks less, but wow.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's a gift. That is a birthday gift from you to me. I appreciate it. Okay. I mean, what else can we say about Beverly Hills? I mean, you said, whose side are you on? Team Denise. You do believe Denise is lying because you have eyes and ears.
Yeah. Team Denise. Wonderful. But I know she's lying more. I'm just like Team Denise, Team Garcelle, Team Sutton, Team Dorit.
Do you think that Garcelle and Denise are going to be back next season? I go back and forth depending on what hour it is.
I see Denise less, but Garcelle just got that full-time gig at The Real. So it's like, I really want her back, but it's going to be more difficult.
Or could it be easier if she's not filming in a studio? Or could it be easier because she's going to need to be in LA and not traveling? And Coming to America, I assume, is done filming. They did it last year. You know, whatever other project she was working on, she's going to have to be stationed in LA proper in order to record, either out of her home or in a studio. Hello.
That is true. I mean, it'll be a lot more work for her because, like, to have a full-time gig Monday to Friday and then have this other, like, filming thing, that's a lot of work. But I hope she does it.
And to be a single mom.
Yeah, and a single mom.
I mean, look, Kyle did it with American Woman. I'm sure she's going to give nothing but support to her good friend Garcelle, who she thinks so much of and whose character she would never question.
American Woman. Wow.
Did you ever watch it? I think I saw 2 seconds and died.
I think I saw like 5 minutes and then I was like, I cannot do this. Love you, Alicia Silverstone, but can't.
Wasn't Mina Suvari in it too?
I think so, yeah.
Did I make that up?
Yeah.
What's Mina Suvari up to? Let's get her on.
She's somebody I've never really focused on, so I like, I don't know.
I mean, she's good with roses. Maybe throw a diamond her way and see what happens. Okay, we need to talk about Potomac once again. I have fucked Potomac over. I promised I wouldn't do this. I did it a little, but we need to talk about Potomac because Brendan Davis, I need to get your thoughts.
Just like, it's a masterclass in Housewives, Potomac is.
Masterclass. It's masterclass.
Even the ones who I like am not on their team or whatever, each one of them is bringing something important and great down to the fucking bird. Like, the bird is doing, T'Challa is doing more for this show than Teddy Joe is doing over in Beverly Hills.
Yes! The teddy bear has been trounced by the fucking African gray parrot, which someone told me, what's that called when you're an endangered animal?
Endangered like, technically, species? I
guess, yeah, thank you so much. Someone told me that, like, it's technically you're probably not supposed to have that kind of parrot because it's, like, maybe not. But you know what? It's fine. It's in a good place. It is safe and happy. It's learning words and expressions.
The subtitles that the editors are giving the bird are wild, crazy, and perfect.
I feel like to work on Potomac is to experience joy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see the love and fun that production has with Potomac through things like T'Challa. Like, I feel like they're given more freedom to do things that are like wacky or just straight up funny or incredibly shady on Potomac that they wouldn't get away with on other franchises. Cause I also feel like it's still true to the energy of the show. These are women who know how to have fun, who are very funny themselves, mm-hmm. very smart, and very quick. And the fact that like production and editing is meeting them on their level mm-hmm. is a full-on chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Like a full-on chef's kiss.
And just like their ability when they aren't speaking to each other or don't like each other in the moment, they will still meet up. They will like mm-hmm. be, they'll joke with each other. They'll drag mm-hmm. each other to each other's faces in a way that's mm-hmm. just like exciting and interesting and fun. I mean, Karen's confessionals going off about Giselle's choice in clothes this week were perfect.
I mean, I needed an Advil or whatever, ibuprofen, to stop the potential heart attack that was going to happen when I was laughing my ass off.
But then it's also like
what Karen was saying,
because Giselle can also dish it so much. Mm-hmm. Like it's like mm-hmm. it, you don't feel bad for her or anything like that, because then in the same scene she's like reacting to the bird having to like sit in the car in the truck with the bird on the way to the, was it a lake house? I feel like we're always going to lake houses on Housewives and never seeing a lake. Is it a lake house or is it just a house in
the
woods?
It is a lake house that the women tried to make fun of by saying, oh, it's in like a forest or whatever. It's in the middle of nowhere. Bitch, that house is like worth eight times wherever the fuck you are. It is. It, that house was nicer than houses on many, many other Housewives franchises. And that's like the second of four.
I know.
So
I know. And it has that guest house. It's like so nice.
I aspire to have a property that requires a golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only thing I want in my life. The only time I played golf with my father and brother when I was younger was to stay on the car and try not to die. I love a golf cart. I think it is the best. I do not drive. I do not like driving. Mm-hmm. But I think a golf cart is equal parts transportation and fun. And I love the whimsy of being rich enough that one must travel in a small, fun little vehicle to get from the main property to the guest home.
Yes.
Which is, in fact, not a suite, but a house, area, building, thing mm-hmm. in and of itself.
I crashed a golf cart as a child.
Oh,
and the axle
dream.
Fell off, and my dad, like, oh. blamed it on the people working somehow to
cool.
save my...
To protect you?
Yeah, I guess. So I haven't driven one since.
I was... I'm a retired nanny, rest in peace, and I babysat for a child who... John Travolta movie? Was it Michael? No, or maybe it was like City of Angels, God thing with Meg Ryan and Nick Cage, where at one point, I think it was that one,
mm-hmm.
where at one point someone like closing their eyes and just like embracing life, where we went on a bike ride with rented bikes and this child decided to close their eyes in order to enjoy the spirit of the ride and crash the bike and like totaled the bike. And I had to,
oh my God.
Yeah, I had to spin it to the bike company to be like, it was defective. I have no idea how this happened.
That's a good nanny.
Saying to the child, thank you. While also saying to the child, did we learn a lesson here today?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's costing someone hundreds of dollars. and that person is not me. I mean, listen, it was a great episode. I think it's one of Potomac's best, which is an extremely high bar.
Mm-hmm.
I also have to say, to start it off in the way that they did with gaslighting in the way that Rinna thought she was saying, but came entirely true with Michael and Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Yowza.
Wow. Just, he's, and what we're getting next week with.
Oh my God.
Like the photos
the
of
reveal.
Him. God, that's just like, she's got her baby and she needs to get out.
And she's talking in real time about baby number two. And it's like, sweetie, you knew all this went down. I hope that you're planning an exit strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But I truly do not think that you are. I think she is in it to win it with this terrible relationship. And I'm nervous watching the trailer for next week. That sad when her, she's like cradling Dean and she's like, whatever she's saying, I hope I can get through the day or whatever she said. I forget mm-hmm. the phrase, but I was thinking to myself, God, I hope that was just an innocuous mourning thing and not related to whatever you're about to find out about your husband.
Yeah.
Who maybe Like, I don't know babies. Babies terrify me. I need you to be 6+ so that you can communicate to me what you need, mm-hmm. and I can help you with that. And I don't know how that works with, like, mom needing to be whatever. But I also think, similar to, like, putting on your mask in the plane before you put it on, like, make sure that you yourself are okay in mm-hmm. order to help other people, that Ashley's mental health should be paramount. And 3 days is not 7 years. And if she needs to go away to take care of herself, which should be Michael's number one focus, mm-hmm. that baby is by all appearances safe and happy and healthy and will continue to be so even if mom takes a weekend, mm-hmm. like, it felt so unbelievably emotionally manipulative. And you're saying that to a woman who is a first-time mom, who has expressed a lot of anxiety around making sure that sweet little baby Dean remains healthy and safe. And you're telling her that if she doesn't take 3 days to herself, it will harm your child.
I know.
What? I don't know babies. Again, I don't, but I would think that's not the way in which to communicate to your partner.
Mm-hmm. 1,000%. And then she heard it from Dr. Wendy. So Ashley's just being attacked from all sides. Though, like, Dr. Wendy's point, there was a, mm-hmm. like, her point made sense. It's just, yeah. like, the way she just, like, came in hot the moment Ashley walked in the door and, like, went after her about it. But, like, her point at the end of the day is, like, yeah, we all wanted to have, like, a girls trip, and to your point, she should have been able to have the girls trip without the right. baby there. So,
and I also think if Ashley wanted to bring her baby, listen, I understand Dr. Wendy being upset, but Dr. Wendy should have that conversation with Monique and mm-hmm. not Ashley. Like, Monique herself was like, I was to blame for this, like, I should have told you. And
totally.
And absolutely, Dr. Wendy should have been given the option in which to bring her kid, and it can still be a ladies' weekend, and you guys both have help in supportive friends or someone who's like, who works for, whatever, who can help take care of the kids so that you can film mm-hmm. without the baby and that you can have these moments and you're still with your bambino. Like, mm-hmm. that's not on Ashley. And I also watched that moment and I thought to myself, one, I'm so glad that Dr. Wendy is in this cast. This was great casting.
Mm-hmm.
And two, no wonder Candace and Wendy get along, because both have a severe allergic reaction to being responsible for their behavior and truly holding themselves to account. No wonder they defend each other. They are in many ways uber similar.
Totally. 1,000%.
And my hope is, this is Candace's last season and we have Candace 2.0 with 4 degrees taking her place.
Yeah.
Like, I think Candace is serving her purpose by the end, and she's way too toxic and is toxic in all areas of her life, seemingly, both on and off camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, she's got to go. She herself has tried to put that narrative out there in saying, I'm not going to return if Monique is back. Sweetie. Okay, good. Thanks for saying that thing that we've been saying
right.
all along.
But we have to see what goes down between them, because, like, that's going to be a mess. Candace still isn't verified on Twitter, which I think is funny, because she posts a lot on Twitter.
I mean, I could say some stuff, but I'm not going to.
Totally.
But I'm thinking it. This will be a nice fill in the blank for the listeners at home. As I shrug into the Zoom camera.
Amazing. Love that.
I'm going to give you a little wink right there. Yeah. I just when I think of Candace, I think of Dr. Wendy, and I think how grateful I am. This will be the comment I say over and over again. How grateful I am for Dr. Wendy joining the cast. How I think, even and especially when I disagree with her, she was great casting. And I think this will be a new chapter. And I also think Monique is having such a great season. Monique, there are 3 housewives that I think are having tremendous seasons. Dorit, Luann, and Monique. And it's sad to me that we know what's coming with the altercation. And my hope is that doesn't entirely break what was a breakout season
right.
for Monique Samuels.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Totally.
I don't know. I mean, the women certainly are like, bye-bye. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
there are a couple Housewives this season where I feel like production is probably doing like their level best to get these women onto the reunion couches, regardless of whether they reside in their homes. Mm-hmm. And I think getting the Monique Candace thing together is going to be rough, tough stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Agreed.
Brendan Davis.
This was so fun.
This was so fun. I love talking to you. You are one of my favorite guest co-hosts because I feel like I am obsessed with your energy and I get a little, you know, I don't know, T'Challa-ish at times. Flapping my wings and going to take flight. And so I feel like it's so nice to hear your perspective because I feel like everything that you say is so reasonable and informed that hopefully it helps me better communicate sometimes too. Can you tell the listeners all about your amazing podcast and what they can expect the unexpected when they tune in?
Yeah. So I co-host Come Through Queen with my good friend Dan. We talk about Housewives and other Bravo stuff, sometimes dip into like Drag Race if we're feeling good. In a way that we try to be fair and level-headed. Yes. About it. But it's fun. It's two friends laughing and talking. It's great.
I love that. And where and how can people follow you online?
You can follow me on Twitter at NotBrendan and then just follow the podcast at Come Through Queen.
Love it. And it's Come Through, T-H-R-U.
Yes.
Come Through Queen. Guys, the Orange County trailer came out and we gave it exactly the amount of time that it deserves. So that's all I have to say about that. Mm-hmm. Salt Lake City may or may not have arrived when you're listening to this episode. So go over to Patreon. I will be doing a live recording of my reaction to it when it comes out. Patreon.com/AndysGirls. And speaking of Patreon.com/AndysGirls, the second ever Andy's Girls Zoom Turtle Time Patreon Patron Kiki etc. is this Sunday, September 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's an event exclusive to OG of the AG level folks on Patreon. As we know from talking about that, my full-time job is rest in peace, as is potentially the entirety of my career. No big deal. So I really appreciate those who have joined Patreon. You're supporting me. You're supporting the future of Andy's Girls. And also PS, because I never give money away just for kicks. You get something amazing with it, which is exclusive bonus episodes. $5 a month, you get 2 a month. $10 a month, you get 4 bonus episodes a month, plus invites to special events like this Zoom Kiki. It's not too late to get a seat at the Sunday night affair. Just sign up or level up at patreon.com/AndysGirls and put your money where my cackle is, y'all. It's a tough time for all of us, but I hope that Andy's Girls has helped get you through. Go to my Instagram at Dame Galley to see the wildest photo that I have posted about my experience watching last night's app that a friend sent to me and I was immediately freaking out about. Brendan Davis, I love you. I die for you. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. This was fun. Can't wait to listen.
And we need to do a collab on Come Through Queen.
Totally.
I feel like my cackle and yours needs to unite as much and as often as possible.
We'll get it in the books.
Phenom. Guys, love you, die for you. Wear a mask, stay safe. I'm getting a haircut tomorrow for the first time since December. Very excited about that. So, guys, that's a really exciting news update for your lives, and I hope that you enjoyed hearing about it as much as I just enjoyed dropping that nugget. We will talk to you guys again soon. Stay safe and stay sassy. Bye.